You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is up? Episode 2 of Upon Further Review. We got some new music this week. Like I said, it's going to be a creative collaboration of all things, so we're constantly getting better, right? It's training camp for us too. We got the new music. We got just a good show this week for you. Eddie Pascal with producer Travis per usual, and special guest. We're joined making his dramatic return, and I guess technically his dramatic debut on Upon Further Review. A man who needs no introduction, but a man with many titles. You may know him as our senior director of football analytical research, but you probably know him best as KMM, Kyle Martin Media, our senior esports correspondent. Kyle, first off, first things first, let's get this out of the way. How has the fortnight been since you touched down in Napa?
Oh boy, you know, I haven't been on the sticks as much as I'd like to be. You know, that's my bread and butter these days. That's my way to, you know, decompress a little bit. You know, when stuff gets a little too stressful at work, I like to come home, hop on the sticks, throw the headset on, meet with the boys, get a couple rounds in. But you know, now it's been about bonding, teaching you how to play a little bit of Fortnite.
Yeah, a little bit.
Have you gotten on the sticks yet?
Not yet. No? Not yet. It's on our to-do list once we get a little free downtime.
It looks like you're taking notes from the sidelines though.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely
observing,
getting better, charting things.
Yeah, of course. Know? You got to.
Did the headset make it up to Napa?
Absolutely not.
No,
that's a strictly in-home accessory that rarely sees the light of day.
That's a shame.
You know, I mean, that's not something I want to be wearing all the time. I just, you know, it's communication. You talk about hydration is key. Communication is key.
Hydration and communication. Two edicts to live by. So anyways, like we said, here in beautiful Napa, right, we're literally sitting outside on a picturesque day here in wine country. Guys are getting ready to head out to walk through. There's Antonio Hamilton and Nick Nelson right there. But we've been here for now, 10, 11 days, a little over a week and a half. And obviously, right back into it is how it feels like. It feels like we never left. As busy as we were during the off season, and as much excitement as there was surrounding this team when we were at 12:20, I mean, it feels like everything's been ratcheted up here once we've gotten to Napa. So, Kyle, let me ask you. We've been here, like I said, a week and a half. What has really stood out to you in terms of guys that you've really been impressed by, guys that have been what you expected, like a Derek Carr type or Jordy Nelson, something like that? Or who has really kind of made an impression on you in this first go-round, this first round of training camp?
I'll give you one guy on defense, and I'll give you one guy on offense. I think, you know, we've preached it for weeks now that nothing really matters until the pads come on. You know, sure, a player can look good in shorts, but until the pads come on, it's an entirely different ball game. But now that the pads are on, Arden Key looks like everything we've thought he would be.
For sure.
Great Ben. He's athletic, lean, physical. Bruce said it the other day. He reminds him of another number 99 that was a pretty good player in his day.
Sure.
I think he's going to have a lot of upside. Bruce is having a great camp, and he's able to learn from one of the best pass rushers on our team right now.
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, I'll agree with you there. I mean, I'll kind of piggyback off what you said and then kind of go my own way too, is that yes, Arden has been everything that we've expected, right? He's been, like you said, lean, agile, a dude who can get after the quarterback, which is exactly what this team needed and what they were thinking they were getting when we drafted him. My one question about Arden, and it's hopefully something I'll get cleared up in the next couple of days when we get a chance to talk to him, is the thought process behind what I could only describe as the longest waist towel in the NFL.
It's unnecessarily long.
It's crazy long, right? So it's very Bruce Irvin-esque, right?
Absolutely.
It's literally Bruce's look, right? With the towel on your hip or, you know, getting your hands clean, all that stuff. But
do you really do you ever see them wipe their hands on it? I've never once seen Bruce do that.
Well, sure, a little bit is for flair.
Oh, it's for sure the swag effect, you know.
Yeah, I mean, especially when Bruce sacks a guy and he does his hands crossed, look at me sack move. You get a little wave in the back, you
blowing
know?
In the wind.
Yeah,
it looks great.
The autumn wind blowing the.
Oh, I'm all for it. Towel. I support it, but the length on it, you're right, is.
It's very confusing, and hopefully we get that cleared up. But just to piggyback off that, I mean, you said you were really impressed by Arden, and yeah, Arden has obviously been as advertised. But Bruce Irvin is my guy. I mean, Bruce has had literally the perfect start to camp, right? I mean, I don't know at this point if you could ask for him to do anything better than he's already doing. And obviously he's going to, you know, they're still going through the motions and getting up to speed and all that. But in terms of hot starts at camp, I mean, Bruce Irvin, what else do we need from you? He had the pick six on day one. He had the forced fumble of the beast, which never happens,
never.
Right? Marshawn never fumbles the ball. Bruce got him.
I mean, Marshawn even dapped him up after, too.
Yeah, he was like, dude, you got me, man. Like,
kudos, yeah.
Kudos to you. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, Bruce has been outstanding this first juncture, you know, through his first portion of camp, you know. Obviously, with, you know, the current shape of the defensive line, a lot more is going to be asked of Bruce, you know, for the time being. And, you know, shout out to Bruce because he's really stepped up. He's been that vocal leader. You hear him chirping on the sidelines, and he's obviously like an incredibly entertaining dude just in general to listen to. But he's done everything that he's needed to do this first portion of camp, and I really look forward to him continuing to do that. And he's one of those guys where I feel like he really kicks it up a notch once the pads come on. You know, once he gets to hit someone that isn't Derek or isn't EJ Manuel or Connor Cook, like that's where we're really going to see Bruce.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. In terms of the offensive guy that I brought up earlier, Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you've watched him play over the last couple of years, he's been an athletic freak. But seeing him up close and personal, the guy's a burner.
Yeah, dude's got wheels.
Physical.
No question about that.
No, and I think one thing that gets, you know, maybe people don't realize about him all the time is that on TV he looks lean. You know, he looks a little skinny.
Sure.
But up close and personal, he's broad.
No, he's built. Like a, he's built for sure. I mean, he very much looks like a prototypical, you know, NFL wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's tall, though. That's one thing that I was kind of surprised seeing him in person. I mean, you see him on TV and everything. You're like, oh, that dude's a tall guy. But, I mean, he's tall in person, for sure.
I want to for sure see some go up and get it passes from Derek to Martavis.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot of that.
Yeah.
In terms of the guy on offense that I really – well, I guess I should say guys. But and this isn't really that surprising, but that interior of the offensive line has been outstanding since we got here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, coming in here, coming in Napa, coming in 2018, we knew that that was really the bread and butter of this team. Rodney Hudson, Clutchy Assembly, Gabe Jackson, probably the best trio of interior linemen in the NFL, right? And they've very much looked that part, you know, for the first week and change that they've been here. They've been outstanding, obviously. We heard Coach Gruden talk today about Rodney Hudson compared him to Hall of Fame center Jim Otto for the Raiders. Obviously a great comparison, a comparison that Rodney obviously didn't take very, very lightly. He's like, you know, it's very nice to be, you know, considered in that same breath. But, I mean, those dudes have really been, you know, they've been great. I don't know. Like Bruce, defensively, I don't know really what you could ask for them on the offensive side of the football, right? I mean, clearing those lanes for Marshawn and Doug Martin and Jalen and D-Wash and then keeping Derek Carr and the quarterbacks upright. Like, you know, those dudes are beasts. They're absolute behemoths.
Absolutely. To that point, too, it's like almost what makes them so good is not even the fact that they're powerful and dominant, but like they're consistent, you know, like
you said
you can rely on them day in and day out, and they're going to give you the same thing. You don't know what else to ask of them because they're already doing everything that they need to do and more.
Yeah, like we were watching them do their one-on-one drills the other day, and not being hyperbole involved here, but I don't think that the three of them, I don't think they got beat once during that one-on-one session. And it's not like they had one rep each. I mean, they were cycling in and you know, they had guys, they had the Mo Hurst, the, you know, the Bruces, the Ardens of the world, like going at them, and I don't think they got beat once one-on-one. I really don't.
I mean neither do I. I mean, we were watching the entire day and didn't see one slip up.
Yeah,
all afternoon.
All right, anyway, so we got a good episode this week. Really excited, we had a chance to talk with our assistant strength coach Kelsey Martinez, who among other things is obviously a very, very talented strength coach, but has implemented, spoiler alert, a 6-week Get Fit program for the Silver and Black. Not just the players, but all of us here that are in Napa, that are maybe having a little too much bread and cheese, more than we should, and not getting out and working out as much as we should. So she tells us all about her 6-week Get Fit plan, among other things, obviously. And Kelsey, an incredibly interesting person who we were really excited to get a chance to sit down with. So we talked to her first, and then coming out of that, we had a chance to sit down and talk with Neil Reynolds of Sky Sports and the NFL UK, who, in addition to having a really cool accent that makes everything that he says sound a lot cooler than it probably is. He is like the guy for the NFL abroad right now. So he is essentially, if you think about it this way, kind of like a sports center, NFL anchor, host slash analyst slash everything American football wrapped into one in the UK. So we had a chance to talk with him. We talked about a bunch of stuff. Obviously, this team going over and taking on the Seahawks in London in October. We talked about that, kind of how the game has grown abroad, the perception of the Raiders brand on a global stage. And then he also gave us a few tourist tips to, you know, things that we need to do while we're over there for that game in October. So, like we said, Kelsey Martinez, Neil Reynolds, really excited about this episode, and we hope you enjoy it. So, with that being said, let's go into our interview with assistant strength coach for the Oakland Raiders, Kelsey Martinez. And we're joined out in the beautiful Napa scenery, out next to the practice field, Raiders flag blowing in the wind, with assistant strength coach Kelsey Martinez. So, Kelsey, thank you for hanging out with us today. We're post-walkthrough, right? So you're good? We're not going to get you in trouble for anything?
Not right now.
So this is like the busiest time of the year, it feels like, for all of us. So I assume it's like very much the same for you guys too. So like, what is a typical, I guess, practice day look like for you?
I mean, it depends on the players for sure. I mean, we have different times set throughout the day. So when everyone's kind of off, that's kind of when we do our job in a sense. But it's pretty open for them just to get them in there working out, lifting, getting better, you know. So we have we start pretty much 5 in the morning, and then they can lift all the way till dinner. So three different times.
I complain about my hours, but I'm up at 5 a.m. So
yeah.
So I imagine that, like, we talk about all the time that there's like, we're at 90 guys, right?
Yeah.
And each of their bodies is like super different. And so what Derek's doing is probably a lot different than like what Big Jelly's doing. So like, do you guys cater what you guys do based off of the guy or the position group or anything like that? Or is it?
I mean, we have a program that's pretty much set for each position. So it's not, you know, that part's not very challenging, but we do listen to each player and we can adjust based on their needs. So the injuries are the things that come up that we have to work around more than anything. So other than that, it's pretty easy.
So how did you get into this whole world, right? This world of strength and conditioning, and obviously now at one of the 32 NFL teams. So how did that whole portion of your life and career get going?
I mean, I love sports and I played softball. I went to school to be able to work with athletes still. And then through the process, I got to meet Coach Shaw, who had his own training facility in Orlando. And I went there during school, actually. Got a visit during breaks, different things like that. And then during school, I did my internship there. And then after I graduated, he hired me on the squad. So,
and just been there ever since.
Been there ever
since. Been there with him, I guess.
And then, yep. And then he brought me along here. So he trusts me with this program. And now I'm here.
Where'd you go to college?
Colorado State.
Oh,
that's where
okay.
I finished. Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Rams, right?
Rams. The Rams. Yep.
Okay. All right. So we got USC. So I went to USC. I went to Oregon. We have a bunch of Oregon guys, a bunch of Pac-12 guys running around. So Colorado State's practically right there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Basically.
So Kelsey, you're one of the only female strength and conditioning coaches in the NFL. Is that something that you take pride in, being one of the only women in what's primarily a very male-dominated field?
Yeah, I mean, I am, and it's something that gets brought to my attention. It's not something I always think about every day.
Yeah, because you got people like me asking you about it all the
right,
time.
Right. So, I mean, I got really comfortable with it in the beginning, working in Orlando, for sure. So it wasn't a huge adjustment, and also being able to work with some of the players that are already on the team before we got out here was also really
cool.
So
who'd you know before you came here?
Like, we had Bruce Irvin, Jelly, James Couser, Khalil Mack, and who am I missing? I don't want to miss anybody. But they've worked out with us for quite a few years, so just that.
Yeah, it's just business as
usual,
right?
Made it pretty easy to just transfer over, you know?
Yeah. So. And that's one thing that we always talk about collectively, that I think one of the best parts about just like the Raiders organization is that you go back the 60 years of this organization, right? And they've been at the forefront of hiring the first minority coach, right? Hiring the first woman executive, you know? And it's kind of cool that you're the next person in that really, really forward-thinking, progressive yeah. stance.
And to be honest, like, when I first got here, the excitement that I got from Coach Gruden, the rest of the staff, was just like, that was the best part. You know, like I had the running back coach come up to me and say, you know, he has a daughter and he thinks this is like so awesome that, you know, she has something to look up to and look forward to. And that's when it really started like becoming even more meaningful to me. So the assistant coach, Coach Masasha, he has a daughter who played softball as well. And then, I don't know, it's just they all were very welcoming. So I really liked, really was happy with that.
That's cool. Just one big family, right? One big Raider family. Mm-hmm. What position you play in softball?
I got recruited as a catcher, but I played outfield eventually.
Power hitting?
So, I wouldn't say power, but consistent.
Hit for average?
Yep.
So, look who walked by. Our old friend Marcus. So, I'm going to blast Marcus for a sec. So, the other day, we're going to unveil the training. We're going to lift the veil of training camp. So, you gave Marcus... Our video czar, you gave him a 6-week training program to get himself. He's going through training camp too.
That's right.
Marcus.
Yes, sorry. Sorry for interrupting, but I really want to know about the 6-week program before I start today. But I'm looking at this 6-week Get Fit program by Kelsey Martinez, and today, Monday, 50 crunches, 60 rope pulls, 30 supermans, 100 jumping jacks, 45 squats, 15 single leg squats, 10 lunges each leg, 25 dips, and 50 push-ups, and also some cardio.
That's day one.
All right, the numbers are intimidating, but it's really...
But I asked you a couple days ago, are there any breaks? You said no breaks. So what the... What's going on here?
If your partner, if you're waiting on them, which they might be waiting on you, but that's the break you get.
So
I'm looking forward to do this Get Fit program. 6 weeks, so that's a long time.
I should be
fit by week two of the season then, right?
6 weeks from now is what? No, I don't think that's even week two, is it? That's probably like the end of the preseason.
Maybe before Monday Night Football.
Before Monday Night Football.
Yeah. If you get started.
When the lights are on, the cameras.
You know what we'll do then? 6 weeks from now, we're going to put it out there, so you have to stay good to it. 6 weeks from now, we'll have you and Kelsey back to talk about your progress.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure, but you want to get
talk
fit,
about
right?
Diet too, though. Like I know it's 80% of your diet and 20% of working out, right?
That's true. You got to put them together. You got to put them together to get the ultimate results.
Let me ask.
Is this? I mean, am I using weights or is this all body weight?
Right now, it's all body weight. If you want to add some weights in later, you can. But the body weight is a good place to start.
So speaking of the diet stuff. So, like, I eat a lot of fish, and I always get, like, told, like, oh, don't eat too much fish because it's going to, like, be bad for you, and you'll get that whatever, the iron or copper or whatever nonsense they have in there. Is it cool that I eat as much fish as I do?
I mean, I'm not a nutritionist. We have one, by
we
the
do
way.
Have a nutritionist. We'll get her. We'll get her on, too.
Next but. Week's host.
She's the best, but, I mean, switch it up.
Switch
if
it
you
up?
Want. I mean, if you like other proteins, eat them, but if you don't, then
okay.
It's not going to hurt you. As far as I know.
As far
Let's double check with
What is the what is like the biggest misconception people have about just strength and conditioning in general, do you think?
Well, it depends on which perspective, I suppose. I'm thinking of a women's perspective.
Okay.
That they don't want to get too big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't want to have like the big traps.
Yeah, which is not going to happen ever, so.
Like, oh, if you just bench 8,500 times, that you're going to turn into this, like, it's going to completely change your body.
That's,
and you're gonna, like,
that's why you have, like, a program set already. So we have, you know, for the full season, we're going to have, or full year, we have different programs. So they're not doing the same thing all the time. And we're just keeping their strength, using different, we're changing the exercises constantly. So
is there like, a difference between, like, a training camp program? Does it, like, switch to the regular season? Because I imagine that. During the regular season, it's more just like maintaining and helping guys.
So actually, we're trying to get stronger throughout our program until week 10 till the 10th game of the season.
Oh,
and then
wow.
After that, we want to maintain. I mean, 23 weeks is what we're hoping for, right? And
yeah,
we got to
stay
strong. So we can't just start maintaining now. And they can't just start lifting during season and get sore. You know what I'm saying? So right now, we're trying to get them strong even in training camp, and it's going to continue on through the season.
Oh, so, super. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That does someone think – that they are the strongest pound for guy on the team, and
I mean,
they're not.
That's always going to happen, for sure, guaranteed. By position, however it is, you know. Well, he's a D-lineman, or he's this, or he's that, so that's an excuse for, you know. I mean, it makes sense, but. We're not going to throw anybody at it.
Oh, that's funny. How's so you're from Colorado originally, right? Mm-hmm. You spent a lot of time in California before?
No, actually. This is really my first time in California. Yeah, for a long period of time. So.
You like it?
I'm getting used to it. It was a really big adjustment. I mean, it's closer to what you expect, I guess, in Colorado. But I lived in Florida for like almost 5 years before I came out here. So
yeah,
that was a big adjustment.
It's not muggy here.
No, and it's cold every morning.
Oh, okay. I think, all right, let's clear it up. It might be cold relatively compared to Florida, but it's, what time is it right now? It's noon and it's, what do you think, like 69, 70 degrees right now?
And what are we all wearing? Long sleeves, jackets.
You're wearing a long sleeve and jacket.
And there's a hoodie, there's a jacket. You're the only one wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, okay,
sweat,
all right.
You know?
I guess for the record, producer Trav is in a full sweatsuit, so this isn't doing much for my argument, but it's super nice. As far
it's
as like training,
yeah,
okay,
right
there
now.
You go. And as far as training camp places go, like Napa's, yeah. My point about the weather being nice has been completely thrown.
Players are spoiled for sure.
Yeah, I mean
it's perfect practicing weather. You know,
it is nice.
Yeah,
it is nice. But now we see. How long do we have? Like another 3 weeks here.
Yep.
Training camp's long.
Mm-hmm.
It's long. Too long.
No. It's good. Getting prepared. We need the time. We use all the time.
Really?
You know, no wasted time.
That's true. So who wins in an arm wrestling competition, you or Deuce?
Oh, my gosh. Deuce just won another gold medal.
Another one?
Yes. Yep. As far as I know, it's his second gold medal. And it was like right after the players got released for break. He's a monster.
Kelsey, how many people are on the Kelsey Martinez workout plan right now?
Ooh, well.
At training camp.
At training camp? Well, I have half the equipment staff and hopefully you guys too.
Maybe you want to share this to the nation, maybe. Get a little before and after pictures and stuff.
Well, today's day one
for
you.
I took a picture of myself already.
You know, I had six of our coaches on it during the off season, and all their wives thanked me.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, just throwing that out there.
Wow.
Today's a day, Travis. You too, Eddie.
All right, I'll do it with you. You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll do it today.
Right.
Do more.
Do it at your pace. That's what I told him. Your pace. Through the exercises, it would take you, we'll say, I'm going to give you 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay. So we have 2.5 hours before we got to come back for practice. 20 minutes. We'll do day one. All right?
Sounds good.
And then 6 weeks from now, we'll get Kelsey back on. We'll get Marcus back on. And we'll see how we did. All right. Deal. Sold?
Sold.
Sold?
Sold.
Sold. All right, Kelsey Martinez, thank you for hanging out with us, and we'll catch up with you hopefully sooner than 6 weeks, but definitely in 6 weeks to see how my man
thank
Marcus
you.
Did.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
So a huge thank you to our new pal, Kelsey Martinez, and very excited to have her back in 6 weeks before Monday Night Football to see how our videos our Marcus did with his fitness challenge. In all seriousness, though, Kelsey, really talented individual, and very happy to have her on board. Neil Reynolds of Sky Sports was at practice the other day. And that's one of the great things about training camp is that you have people from all over, obviously in this case the world, but you have media outlets from all over come, take in practice, see how different teams do it. And Neil was, we were one stop on Neil's, I believe it was a 7-city tour of NFL teams before he got back on a plane and flew back home to London. So here's our conversation with Sky Sports' very own Neil Reynolds.
First of all, thank you for taking a couple minutes with us before you hop on the plane for what, the 14th time in the past week?
feels like that, yeah. I'm heading straight from Raiders camp back to the airport in Oakland and then flying up to Seattle, and that's last stop for me. So I went to New York to do some interviews on Thursday, then flew Thursday night to Nashville, all day filming with the Tennessee Titans on Friday, then flew to L.A., did Saturday with the Chargers, then flew Saturday night to San Francisco, drove up here today for a day with the Raiders, now flying to Seattle, yeah, Seahawks, and then home.
It's a lot of flying.
It's a lot of flying. It's a lot of... So this part, the football, is fantastic. When people say, you know, it's busy schedule and all the miles, this part is great. You get to interview the players and Coach Gruden, and you're watching football in the sunshine, you know, standing somewhere that you can feel really privileged to watch the action unfold. But yeah, it's the when you get to another airport security line and you're standing there again, it's where should we eat now? Let's go to the food court again in the airport, you know. So it's that part of it is quite challenging, but the rest of it is a lot of fun. But yeah, it's it's kind of Groundhog Day. It's sort of rinse and repeat. But, yeah, the football part's really good.
So you brought up Coach Gruden. Obviously, had a chance to talk with him for a couple of minutes. And, you know, one thing that we've really noticed, you know, working here, being with him every day, is that he has this different energy, different kind of aura about him than any coach any of us have ever worked with. He's a legitimate superstar head coach. So from where you guys are at in England, what is the perception of Coach? I mean, do people look at him more as the ESPN Monday Night Football broadcaster or more as the coach?
So I think mostly when you look at fans that have come on board, the NFL's growing so fast in the UK. So more and more fans have come on board since we've played regular season games. So that's from 2007 onwards. So those fans that are new to the game will only know Coach Gruden, the Monday Night Football commentator. And we get Monday Night Football on Sky Sports. We show that. So everyone is very familiar with Coach Gruden. But there'll be an older fan base that remember him being one of the best coaches of his generation. And you're right. When he sat down today, for me, it was like when I've interviewed Tom Brady or I've interviewed Bill Belichick. There are certain levels of people you interview in the NFL, and I think you're absolutely right. He's a genuine superstar. Now, coaches always say, well, players win games, but I think he is a genuine superstar in the NFL. Somebody you're just compelled to watch. I came out here on the practice field today, and I'm looking for Derek Carr, but as much as I'm watching Derek Carr or Marshawn Lynch run, I'm trying to find, where's Coach Gruden? Where's Coach Gruden? And I'm watching to see what he's doing and some of the unique things he does with the, you know, with the situational football where they're practicing that. He was a really good interview as well. He's a fascinating guy and clearly just so, so intense.
I mean, you talked about how much the game has grown abroad in the past, you know, what, 10, 12, 15 years. I'm sure it's kind of an open-ended, kind of broad question, but what do you think's really led to that, that this explosion of NFL football abroad?
Yeah, I mean, the fan base was always kind of there. There was, you know, in the 80s, we had NFL football. We had American Bowl preseason games in the late 80s and early 90s. So there was always an existing fan base there, but they were kind of crying out for the real thing. So the difference maker, the huge difference maker, has been from 2007 having regular season games and not proving that we can just pull off one and get away with it, but to have three or four. You know, we had four last year. We got three this year. And so I think that's the biggest difference, because so much comes when you're able to bring real games to the market. So the fan base has grown ridiculously in the last 10 years. One of the fastest growing sports in the UK. It's the fastest growing participation sport in British university sports. So people are playing the game. Kids are playing flag football from the age of 6 or 7 and 8 years old. There's youth 5-on-5 football. There's junior football, which is 9-on-9. There's senior football being played. TV ratings are going up. Sponsorships going up. Everything is proving that this fan base just has a real thirst for the NFL and just wants more and more.
So I'm really excited. So we're headed off to London, right, to play the Seahawks. It's my first time in Europe, my first time doing a lot of these things. So I'm excited. And on my sports bucket list, I won't have a chance to do it this go around, but I really, really, really want to get to a Premier League game. I don't care what two teams it is, but it's something I've always had this burning desire to do. And I was like, all right, this is a second best. But yeah. In terms of a game day atmosphere for these games in London, what is it like?
They are all day events. So much like you get tailgating in the States, the NFL make a big deal of putting on entertainment for 3 or 4 hours before the start of the game. So I'm always out there hosting events outside the stadium before I go inside and host the shows on Sky Sports and the games on Sky Sports. And you have all 32 team jerseys there. Everyone's having a great time. They're all kind of one big NFL family. And then they support their individual teams. So everyone, there's a real kind of togetherness, great atmosphere, friendly atmosphere you feel you can take your family to. And yeah, my wife and three children are in the stadium at those games while I'm working on Sky Sports. I'm not sure I'd do that for every Premier League game. So yeah, there really are great events. And we're really interested to see how that game plays out between the Raiders and Seahawks as well, because you know, the black hole and the Raiders fans travel and you hear all this stuff about the 12s. I mean, in terms of NFL fan bases here in the US that are most likely to be committed to come over and watch their team in London. You know, I think we're going to have an influx of Raiders and Seahawks fans. Should be pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, two very dedicated fans. Yeah. Two different fan bases, right? But right. Two very, very dedicated fan bases. So, you know, another thing that we've been really fired up about, and I've been telling producer Traff here about it, is that I'm so excited to go to Tottenham's new stadium. And, you know, we've seen the renderings and, you know, we've had a chance to kind of, you know, see it behind the curtain a little bit. And that thing is going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah, this is an amazing undertaking by Tottenham, because they went to the NFL and said, we want a new stadium. We're building a new stadium, but we want you to be in our stadium. So they actually had high-level conversations before they even started building that stadium. So down one side of the stadium is soccer locker rooms, and the other side of the stadium is locker rooms purpose-built for the NFL.
And that's going to stay. That's going to
stay
gonna be
permanently.
Permanent.
You are going to have a grass field that rolls out. So your grass field that you play soccer on, that will roll out, and 6 to 8 feet below that, so your sight lines are better for the NFL, will be a 4G, purpose-built, fully permanent NFL field. They laid it in the summer. They've put the logos on already. So this is a Premier League soccer club that's come to the NFL and said, what do you need? What do you want? And we're gonna make it for you, and we're going to leave it here all the time, which is why there's a 10-year partnership. So for the NFL in the UK, it's an amazing thing to have that. And it's going to be quite an event, because, I mean, the tickets, they're like gold dust. It's like Willy Wonka's golden tickets, these tickets. They really are. It's fans are just desperate to see the Raiders and Seahawks.
Could you imagine, you know, 15, 20 years ago, a top-flight Premier League team like Tottenham approaching the NFL with this type of situation?
Oh, I couldn't. Even back then, I could not have imagined having one regular season game. We had no preseason games at that point. Things had gone a little bit dark from the first kind of go-around of it being successful. I would not have dreamed of that. And if you had walked to Tottenham Hotspur or a Premier League team and said, right, can you build us this? They would have just laughed you out. I mean, you would have been laughed out of town if you suggested we were going to have one regular season game. And now here we are, you know, thinking, well, we've only got three this year. Only three, you know. I mean, we've had four the last couple of years. So it's, it's been remarkable growth. And I don't think it's the end of the story. I think the best part of the story is still to come.
All right, well, I'll ask you then. At some point down the road, do you foresee the NFL expanding permanently to be in Europe?
I think we'll have a franchise there, yeah. I think we'll have a franchise in London. I think we've been tested quite thoroughly with regular season games, with multiple regular season games that sell out within minutes. We've played games where we've had no bye week for the teams coming off their game in London. We've moved a lot of games to lunchtime kickoffs. That's not the case for the Raiders and Seahawks, but most of the games are being played in lunchtimes now, so you can get back to Philadelphia or New York or Pittsburgh the same kind of time on a Sunday night that you would get back from Seattle if you'd played the Seahawks on the road. Everything's there. I think everything's in place. We've got Wembley Stadium. We've got Tottenham Stadium. We've got government support. I don't think we're that far away. I think when the new kind of TV deals kick in here in the United States, 2021, 2022, I think you're going to see a London franchise by then, because I think it adds tremendous value to the NFL. So I think there's obviously logistics. I think you'd probably look at putting a team on the East Coast of America, the football operations part of it at least. Because if your left tackle goes down, you don't have to bring 10 of them over to London to work them out.
I didn't even think about that.
So if you could base that on the East Coast, go into London, play a 3-game swing, back into America, play 2 games, back to London, 2, back to America for 3. It can be done. I really feel like we're ready. I feel like there's an appetite for it. And I feel like there's good times ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. We've obviously talked about how much, you know, football is growing abroad, but it's interesting to kind of think the opposite too, right? You look at soccer here.
Yeah, and they're comparable. The way Premier League is viewed here.
Absolutely. I mean, and you look, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, and you wouldn't have, you know, American football players interacting with European soccer players.
Right.
Like you look on, and I'm sure social media has helped immensely in this regard, but you look at guys like Odell Beckham Jr. who are spending time with Neymar and things like that. And I mean,
they weren't aware of each
no,
other.
No, exactly. Lived in, they, and the cross-pollination is definitely there.
And I think that's why, you know, I think again, that's why now, you know, with social media, with the five live games we put on Sky Sports every week. If you're an NFL fan in the UK, you can watch NFL Network. Every program that's on NFL Network, you can watch via NFL Game Pass. So, yeah, the world's a much smaller place in terms of connecting with people and watching content. So, you know, the only thing stopping us at the moment is geography. There are fans. I mean, you'll see it when you're over there. There are fans in the UK. They cheer in all the right places. They boo in all the right places. They know what they're watching. You know, if it's a dull game and not much is happening, they'll be quiet like they would be here in the States. You know, they know their football. They love their football, and they've kind of grown to a level, I believe, where they know football the same way as a guy in New York or Los Angeles.
So we really appreciate your time. So let me ask you this. So when we head over with the team, we're only going to be there for a couple days, right? We're not doing the full week to 10 days situation like we did last time. So for us, young guys, we're in London for 48 hours. What do we have to do?
Well, first of all, I'm not a young guy, so I don't get out in much. I don't get out in London very much. So the places that you would go compared to where
very
I would
different
go
places.
Might be different
well,
places.
Right. They always give me a hard time for being an old soul, though. So what's just a good thing to do for while we're over there?
Okay, so I think London's a great walking city. I think it's a great place to walk around and see things. You don't have to get in a taxi. You don't have to get on the tube. You can just walk and enjoy the city, and you'll always come across a sight. I think, you know, they've actually got great parks in London that you can walk through. And then you'll have worked up a bit of a thirst, you see, by
absolutely,
that stage.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, we like a pint. We like a pub. Hopefully, by then, October, the weather won't have turned too much. But, you know, if it is chilly, you can find a pub with a fireplace and a roaring fire and put your feet up and have a pint. That's a good way to end the day.
That sounds pretty good to me. So actually,
you'll probably go clubbing, but that would be what I would do.
Has it reached the point, though, in London, since we're talking about that, where people will go to a pub to watch an NFL game?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, yeah. So we see that, you know, we have... like I said, we show Thursday night football. We show three live games with a studio. I host a studio. We're on air for about 9 hours every Sunday night. We will have Monday night football. But yeah, so there are kind of viewing parties and pubs and nightclubs that show NFL. They're not team specific. I got asked this question when I was in Nashville by the Titans radio people. They're not team specific, but there are places where NFL fans can gather and watch their football. So it's got to that point, yeah.
I'm excited.
If you don't get a Premier League game on this trip, you know what it means, don't you?
What's that?
We've got to have the Raiders back again.
Oh, I'm down.
We won't be against it because the Raiders are very, very popular.
That's what I hear.
They are a very popular team.
I mean, in all honesty, like, you know, you look at the games, you look at the 16 games, and you're like, oh, this game's going to be good, this game's going to be good. But, like, I think the London-Seattle, the story, in addition to being in London, the storylines kind of write themselves, and we're really fired up. So hopefully we'll catch up with you when
absolutely
we're on
I'll
the
be
other
there.
Side of inside of the world. But so Neil Reynolds, thank you so much, man.
Thanks.
I appreciate
me.
You. We'll catch you up later. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Neil Reynolds. Like I said, with the accent, everything sounds a lot cooler. I'm trying to get one of those in my next life. But in all seriousness, huge shout out to Neil. Huge shout out to Kelsey Martinez and Kyle Martin. Thanks for coming to hang out, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always it's a blessing.
It really is.
To sit down with the great Eddie Pascal.
Oh, please,
you know,
please.
Come on.
We'll get you back in the mix per usual. You know you won't be a stranger. So Raider Nation, thank you. Episode 2 in the books. We are ready to rock. I think for the time being, we're going to try to do this a weekly thing. I think Thursdays are going to be our day to unleash the pod on you guys. So make sure you stay tuned for all that. Huge thank you to producer Trav, behind the scenes, the maestro, the man who makes it all sound a lot better than it does when we do it live. So shout out to Raider Trav, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.